This episode is brought to you by BundleRabbit.com, Earth's most accessible book bundling marketplace. Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of 24 books, 34 short stories, and countless articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this quest to raise your output to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, Episode 218. Continuing our series for Robert in Australia, who has written in with a bunch of questions about teaching writing to children and young adults, today he asks, "When I grew up, every story I remember was in the past tense. I have recently taught using a Timmy Failure book that was in present tense, and read a book by Matt Wallace that is also in the present tense. It's taking me some time to adjust. Is present tense story writing recent or a revived method? Did I just miss out? Why and when might present tense be appropriate for fiction writing?" Well, Robert, present tense has been around for a long time, but it does seem to me to have undergone a recent revival. Now, recent is relative. I remember that I started seeing more and more present tense books after the release of Presumed Innocent in, I think it was 1988. That was the first present tense novel I ever read in the ninth grade at the time, 14 years old. Wow, what a book to read when you're 14 years old. But the tradition goes back quite a ways, at least as far as Raymond Chandler and the early crime writers. It was a very effective technique for sucking people in the early crime stories. And I know it goes back farther than that. Past tense tends to be preferred because it doesn't draw attention to itself. When we talk to each other in real life about what has happened to us and we tell each other stories, we don't usually tell stories in present tense unless it's a particular kind of joke or a very recent anecdote and it's told in a high-energy fashion, which is how it tends to be used in books. Now, it also tends to be used for more contemplative works in literary fiction and that sort of thing. The primary utility of present tense is to bring the reader in on a moment-by-moment basis to the stream of consciousness experience of your point of view character. It can strip away a layer of artifice and dramatic irony. Usually, artifice and dramatic irony are things you want, but if you're looking to tell a story that'll go straight to someone's gut, stripping those away can give the illusion that there isn't artifice going on. And what do I mean by artifice and dramatic irony? Artifice is that which is artificial. It's the craftsmanlike aspect of fiction, that sense that you get when you're reading that someone has put work into this and that someone is a craftsman who knows what they're doing. A dramatic irony is a phenomenon that occurs when the knowledge levels are out of sync between the story and the reader and the writer. So if the writer is telling a story in the past tense, the point of view character is telling the story in the past tense, the point of view character has the option to withhold information from the reader and also has the option to let the reader in on information that the characters in the story aren't yet. So you get that bit where the reader is out of step in the timeline, either ahead or behind, of where the point of view character is at that moment in the story. Removing that is another thing that gives the illusion of immediacy and earnestness to what's going on. Because while on the one hand it removes some of the best tools that exist for building tension, on the other hand it closes down the perspective and helps force the reader into looking through a single set of eyes and a single point of view with a single set of reference points where nothing is hidden from them, or apparently nothing is hidden from them. What it actually does is it puts blinkers on the reader as if the reader is a horse, and you're constraining the reader even further than they would normally be constrained from noticing things that are going on behind the curtain that you might not want them to see yet. It's a fantastically effective technique for point of view constraint and reader perspective control, but it does come at a cost of a host of other tools that allow you to screw with the reader's knowledge of what's going on and thus amplify emotional effects, build tension, and other stuff like that. So it's definitely something that writers should learn how to do. It's definitely a technique writers should get familiar with. But it's not a technique that you should use every time, and it's not even a technique that the best people at this use every time. I'm currently working my way through the works of Greg Iles, who has just completely caught me, and I'm a major Greg Iles fanboy right now. Fantastic. I can't even say crime fiction, because some of it's crime, some of it's family saga, some of it's ghost stories, whatnot. But amazing, deep, chewy, dark, wonderfully, beautifully written, dark stories set in the South. Some of his stuff, particularly the more thrillery stuff, happens in real time, in the present tense, first-person narrative voice. Other books are told in third person and shifting perspectives. Still other books are first person, past tense. Each narrative style has a different effect on the reader and gives you, the writer, access to a different set of easily graspable tools to manipulate the reader. So, having a command of all of them is supremely useful, and I highly recommend it. I hope that helps, and we'll continue this tomorrow. The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at everydaynovelist.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. The Everyday Novelist is copyright 2017 J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions, Inc. and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License.